Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Here. Calling on. Okay. Calling on brains. Calling on brains right here to On the Edge with April Mahoney and Phyllis Winters over there. Brains, we have another exciting day of education, innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Phyllis Winters is a tech mastery coach. What does that mean? Women in STEM. We want to encourage and support women in the tech arena. Once upon a time, it wasn't very inviting for women. But women are always good with numbers and science and putting things together. This is a form of a puzzle. How does that look? How is that framed? What's the money like in tech now? How do we encourage young women and grade school girls to really get involved in mathematics and science and STEM? Because, again, it's changing the world. So we're going to talk about all that and more with our guest today, Phyllis Winters. How are you?
Hi, April. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you? Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited, too. She told me where Lake Tahoe is. Brains, I've never been there. The northern part of Nevada. They say it's a lot of fun. Now, I know that they don't have all of the, and maybe they do, the glitz and the glamour of Vegas, but is there gambling there, and or is this more resort?
There is, but it's very low-key. It's like there's no strip like there is in Vegas. And yes, Lake Tahoe sits in the middle of the border with California and Nevada. And on the Nevada side, right at the state line, they have a couple of casinos on the Nevada side, and all the people from California come over. But mostly it's really not a casino part at all. And closer to where I live in Reno, they do have more casinos, but it's still very low key compared to Vegas.
Well, but what I hear is it's very upscale and ritzy when it comes to resorts and skiing.
Yes, in Lake Tahoe, that's true. The South Lake Tahoe is where Heavenly and several other ski areas are. And it's very beautiful, and it's very Tony and very foo-foo, and it's one of those places that's very high-end all year long. Now, North Lake, which is the north side of Lake Tahoe, is a little lower key. That's more of, you know, my kind of people, working people that, you know, we don't own fur coats and, you know, we don't drive Maseratis, but it's for like normal people. That's my own personal opinion. That's not official. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's good, you know, but you got to get in where you fit in and wherever that
that's
is.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so tell us where you fit in the world. Tell my brains a little bit about you.
Well, I want to tell you that I started out as I'm the oldest of six children. And when I was 17, I was always interested in math and science. And back in grade school, I was the AV girl, like the one that I wheeled the overhead projector out and plugged it in.
That was cool.
Everybody thought that was tech. So I got an early start. And even as a very young child, my sister's 18 months younger than I am, and she always played with dolls. And I always did puzzles. I never liked dolls, and I always played with puzzles. And that's kind of maintained through my whole life. When my senior year of high school, my father kind of sat me down, because I'm the oldest of six, and no one had ever gone to college. And he sat me down and said, Phyllis, you got to drop these college prep courses and take a typing class
so you can
get a job. And I said, Dad, I'm going to go to college. He goes, we can't afford it. I said, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to figure it out. Now, luckily, then there were grants, scholarships, loans. I did college work study. I did another part-time job. So I ended up putting myself through school, the first person on either side of my family. And I only came out with $12,000 of school loan debt.
Wow.
So that was wonderful. And what's funny, when you were telling the story about women in STEM, my sophomore year in college, I was majoring in computer science because I loved computers. I loved numbers. I loved engineering. And my advisor sat me down and said, okay, so you realize that there's no jobs in computers, right? And this was way back when in the day. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, there's really no jobs. He didn't say for girls, but I knew there were jobs, and I was a girl, and if he was telling me there were no jobs,
I can translate.
So I said, okay, well, then where's the money? I have school loans I have to repay. And he said, well, accounting. I'm like, okay, accounting, that's numbers. I can do that. So I dropped my computer science major down to a minor and did a 4-year accounting major in 2 years. Mm. And then I got out and got a job with Price Waterhouse as an auditor. And then I went back and got my master's degree in computer science because that was my first love. And what I discovered and why I think now it's better for girls, but I think society doesn't really give girls the right push because girls are still somewhat not encouraged to do puzzles. They're not encouraged to do wiring or cabling or anything that's kind of esoteric. And that has changed a lot since I was in high school, but I still see it happening. And my personal opinion, the way you can help your daughter or your niece is give them toys that make them think. Like I always did mm-hmm. puzzles. Give them like there's little electronic sets where you can actually connect things that make a light bulb go on or make a bell ring. Give them erector sets to have them build things, like build the Eiffel Tower with Legos when they're little.
Right. Like because it's good to stimulate the brain. And it's a different language. Don't overthink it, brains. You will be able to use this in so many different ways. I mean, I talked to people before GPS was popular.
Yeah.
I said, you need to do that. Now AI is popular.
Yes.
Aerospace.
But making girls, and I don't mean make girls. I'm not saying tell girls how to think. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is give them the same opportunities and the same exposure mm-hmm. because a lot of the way you get a child's attention is you have them doing something fun. And they don't realize that the reason it's fun is because their brain is working and they're having to think ahead. And that's the challenge and that's the fun. And they enjoy it. I think if you say you have to learn STEM, now all of a sudden it sounds like an assignment. Whereas I think what we do with boys, we don't tell boys they have to learn STEM. We just give them the toys that are STEM. So give those same kind of toys to little girls and they will start to develop that same interest and that same love. And once they're in middle school and high school, encourage them. Encourage them to take whatever abilities that they have and push the envelope. Make their abilities mm-hmm. grow.
Absolutely.
And let them know that there is money. You know, when you're talking about, okay, can I get a job? Yes, you can. And what's really good is even though it's not 100% parity that women with the same job get the exact same pay as men, in the technology and engineering field, there is closer parity. It's still not 100%, but it's closer parity than some other fields. So if you have a little girl who wants to be an astronaut or wants to be a scientist or a researcher or anything like that, there is a lot of opportunities for girls. And if they start really young thinking that way, it won't even cross their mind that this isn't for them. They'll just expect
exactly. So tell us a little bit about your Tech Mastery course and your coaching.
What I do for Tech Mastery coaching, what I do is I help business owners identify what their perfect client journey is for their clients from when the client doesn't even know them yet and they're just making themselves aware out on either social media like LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, and how to take technology and some apps and make your message easier to be delivered, make it easier to be discovered, and then automate it so that they don't have to manually like DM people or manually go on Instagram or manually do anything. When you set up certain apps and technology, you can automate that process. You can think it through, and you should always think it through without thinking about the apps. Think about, look, if I was going to do this by hand, what would I hand April? If I wanted April to eventually become my client, what would I do? Oh, I would write her a lovely email, or I would send her something, or I would talk to her. Take those concepts of that journey that you would like for April, for your client, and then design a process that will help you deliver it. At first, everybody does do it manually, April, because mm-hmm. in the beginning, you don't have tech and you don't have automation,
but you have
to know what you want to automate. So what I help clients do is help them define that perfect client journey you know, up here in the brain, and then get it down on paper into processes that will deliver it. And then look at, okay, now where's something that's repetitive? Mm. Where's something that would be a good candidate to be automated? And then we identify which app is the best app. And I am actually a Keep partner, but I don't push Keep down everybody's throats. I have clients that use ActiveCampaign and other
things. Well, I don't know why you don't push it down their throat. This is innovative. This is cutting edge. This is the technology. And again, you don't know what you don't know.
True. That's so true.
Push it down their throats. I'm with you. I'll sit there and hold them.
Okay. Hold them down.
But it's very, you know, it's very, it's fun too.
It is fun. And one of the things that I find is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the system called ClickFunnels, which is it's meant for building funnels, but I built my website with it. I built my portal with my training on it. I build my landing pages. I build my sales pages. And it even has webinar presentation rooms. So, and it's $97 a month. And I'm not a ClickFunnels salesperson, but that's what I use. That's the one that I help people learn to use, because you can do those five major things with the very same system. So once you learn, okay, like this is a section, this is a column, once you learn their structure, it's the same for building your portal, building your website, building your landing page. And that's my goal with my clients, is to make technology and the apps as easy as I can and make them need to learn the littlest amount, because that's not their genius zone. This is my genius zone. You know, a lot of them are different types of coaches. Some of them are health coaches. Some of them are mindset coaches. I have that left brain, techie brain. Right. They don't. So I don't need to teach them something that's so complicated that I even have to stop and think about it. I have to give them something that's going to do the job, but do it at a level that they can learn and be comfortable. And remember, that's not their job. They shouldn't have to take a month to do something with technology for their business. That's not what they do. So my goal is to make them do what they do better, so they get more clients with the least amount of technology getting in their way, and making technology be a tool and not a hurdle.
Okay, so who's your ideal client? Because this is small to mid to large.
My ideal client is mostly, my clients are coaches, consultants, and service providers, mostly coaches and consultants. And I seem to have two pools of clients. One are the clients that are coaches and have been for a while and are just starting to say, hey, I am getting busy. I have a lot of one-on-one clients. There's only so many hours in the day, and I need to get some of this stuff automated. So we do that. And then I have other clients that are past that point, and they're like, okay, I am booked right up. I've got to start switching over to like a group coaching or some kind of a not one-on-one, because there's only so many hours in the day. And then that's my other type of client, which is they've already got their landing pages and their automations and what have you. But and now they're going to switch.
That's good with those collaborations, because each one teaches one.
Exactly.
You know, and you ask that one question and everybody's probably thinking the same thing. They're able to partner up and, you know, bring more value to the table and even teach you some stuff.
And so, you know what, the way I discovered that was, 1 week I was working with, I had four different one-on-one clients spread out over Monday and Tuesday 1 week. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday night I realized, I was like, you know, I just explained the exact same thing four times in the last 2 days. And I went, ding, 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 ding. You know, why don't I just make a small group of four or five of these?
Right.
And let's teach them all the same. And like you say, we all collaborate. Someone asks a question and the other person goes, you know, I thought that was a stupid question, so I didn't ask it, but I'm so glad somebody else did. So that's the other part of my client base, is helping them get into group situations. And there's a little different type of technology involved if you're doing groups rather than if you're doing one-on-one.
So let's ask some questions and get to know Phyllis Winters. Okay?
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Potatoes. Mostly French fries, mashed potatoes, and hash browns.
How do you make your mashed potatoes?
Oh, I make them with a ricer instead of a beater. Really? And I use evaporated milk in the can instead of regular milk. And I put a whole stick of butter in a 5-pound bag of potatoes, and they taste absolutely fabulous.
I am so sure. I love to put some French onion dip or a garlic dip in, you know, after
In
the mashed potatoes. Sprinkle it with some bacon bits and you're all good.
You know, the only thing better than mashed potatoes plain is bake a loaf of homemade bread, cut a slice while it's hot, butter it with butter, and then put some mashed potatoes on top of that, fold it in half, and it is heaven on earth.
Is it delish?
It's delish. It's so delish.
So since you are a cook, when you're in the kitchen, if you were an appliance, what appliance would you be, Phyllis?
I think I would be my immersion blender.
Really?
Because that's what really gets things put together. It's like you could, I make some different soups where you put the vegetables in and you cook them until they're pretty soft. Mm. And they look good, but they're like a spoonful of vegetables, which is good for if you want vegetable soup. But I make a tomato soup where I have things like fennel and leeks and shallots and tomatoes. And when it gets all cooked, it just kind of looks like a muddy pool, and I take the immersion blender and it just smooshes it all together, and now it looks like cream of tomato soup, but there's no cream in it. It's just the vegetables have gotten all smoothed out, and it's delicious. In fact, doing a cookbook, which I will put you on the list when I get
I was just thinking, I mean, because you are all into it, you're so excited. I would probably be the I think I'd be the teapot.
Why?
Because I'm hot and steamy and I like to spat off.
Okay. All right. And I wanted to be the immersion blender because I'm good at putting everything together. And that's kind of my thing.
And making it creamy. That's wonderful.
And making it creamy. Exactly.
If you had three wishes, what would they be?
World peace, end hunger, and clean water for all.
See, that's beautiful because that's selfless. You're thinking about other people, and that's so important. You're a giver. You're a teacher. What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy that I hope to leave is I took the amazing gifts that God gave me, and I shared them with everyone who I could help, and they will now take what I taught them, and they'll share it out. So it would be like dropping a stone into water, and the rings will just keep going out. So there'd be like an afterglow when I'm gone.
Absolutely, a ripple effect. What would you tell a 25-year-old Phyllis Winters?
I would tell a 25-year-old, well, the two main things I would tell them is, yes, put money in your 401k, even though it seems stupid right now, because you put $100, if you could afford $100 a week, that's a lot of money. If you could just put $100 a month in a 401k starting at 25, that will be $1 million by the time you're like 45. Mm. And you don't have to touch it. You just keep putting the money in there. You don't have to know anything. You just do it. And then you will have some money for not only when you retire, but you will also start to learn the concept when you see how that keeps growing. You're going to go, oh, wait a minute. Now, you can't use that for your down payment on your house. But once you see how money can grow, I think it would encourage you to start saving for that down payment. And that's the one thing I said. I came from a very poor family, and we saved literally like a nickel. Like literally, as a little girl, I got a nickel in my savings like every week. So I never really understood it because a nickel doesn't ever really get very big. But that's the one thing I wish I had known sooner. I actually didn't start contributing to my 401k until I was almost 30, which granted is still pretty early, but I feel like I lost that 5 years.
And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people, there's extenuating circumstances where they have to go into that.
Yes.
But it's not your personal slush fund, right?
No, exactly. That is.
But if you need it, you can definitely go liquid.
And the other thing that I would tell them, it's just kind of funny because when I say use your 401k so that you can retire. Now, meanwhile, I never, ever, ever want to retire because what I do now, I would do it for free for fun. And this, like, what else would I do? Like, I don't golf and I don't knit and I don't bowl and I don't fish. I don't do any of those things.
Oh, I thought you were a mean billiard player.
Well, you know what? I do play pool. Yes, I do, but I don't compete in it. Like, but I am a good pool player. But my point is, I don't think your goal in life should be to retire and do nothing. To me, like, God has given me all the things He's given me. Everything He gives me keeps building me forward to do more and give more. And why would I want to stop and like do my roses in my garden? You know what I mean? It's like, but as long as I can do it, keep doing it.
It's developing relationships. And that's not only with people. That's a relationship with money. Having that conversation, understanding it is a vehicle for change, that it needs to work for you as hard as you work for it.
Exactly.
It's a duality too. It's being responsible. It's being efficient and paying it forward. I'm in the process right now of teaching my 13 and 15-year-old granddaughters financial literacy. They don't like it, but they sit here, they pay my bills, they reconcile the bank statement, they understand what interest is.
And so see, I think that should be taught like in school, like public school. You know, I think that
now,
when I was in high school, we had
with COVID, if you can just teach them the basic math. I looked at my little neighbor's math and I was scratching my head. I was like, okay, you still get 240, no matter how you do it, but the columns and the rows and all that.
Oh, the new math.
Oh,
the new math.
God.
I know.
It's always a new math. Math is a language, just like science. And once you learn to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, everything else is just terminology. It's that puzzle. It's putting that puzzle together. So, what do you say to a young woman right now that is really, you know, headed off to college or in college, first couple of years? And thinking about taking this route towards STEM and engineering, how do you encourage her?
Well, the biggest encouragement I think I can give her is the reality check of those who graduate with art history majors. There are no jobs for art history majors. There's one museum curator, and that person's been there for 20 years, and they're not leaving. So you don't really have a job path. If you major in math or science or engineering or technology, there are jobs right in front of you. So pick something that stirs your heart, engages your brain, and that there's a path forward that you could see yourself enjoying. Don't get a job just to make the money. Get a job that tickles your brain, makes your heart swell, and oh, by the way, they pay you for it. And I think STEM subjects are exactly that. They do tickle the brain, they do make your heart swell, and they pay you good money. So to me, that's the trifecta.
Well, tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to, you know, get on a call with you or join one of your online courses.
Well, I would encourage them to join my Facebook group. It's called Female Entrepreneurs Grow and Scale with Tech and Automation. Or if you just go to Phyllis Winters, my personal profile, and you click the banner, in there is a link that goes over to my Facebook group. And in there, I do live trainings every week. I talk about different types of tech things. I answer questions. I offer support. And that's the best way for them to get in touch with me is go to my Facebook profile, click on the picture, and then join my group.
Well, Brains, I really want you to consider all of your options. You can't go wrong. You know, STEM, mathematics, you go to
engineering.
Finance. You can go into engineering, you can go into chemistry, you can go into medicine, you can go to artificial intelligence. The list goes on and on and on. And once you have the basic foundation for this skill set, the sky's the limit.
Yes, it is.
You know? So I am so glad that you are in this space. I admire heady, nerdy women. I think nerdy,
that's me.
Nerdy, it's sexy. It's sexy because you're a thinker. And again, that's where the imagination is. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me. Now, you know, Brains, I can't find my postcard.
Oh, you just had it. I think you set it down there.
I set it down and I found it because I want you to know where to go. I want you to go right here. You see this address right there? I know it's all up in your face.
Yes.
I want you to go in there and love, like, and share. Come on, one more time. Love, like, and share. It's very important that we keep this going. There are 3 billion people, and me and Phyllis want at least 2.9 to get this information.
Yes, we do.
So thank you again from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just isn't deep enough. You're the
Okay. Thank you, April. And thank you, everybody. And anyone who has any questions, any young ladies who would like to talk to me about it, please go through my Facebook profile, get in touch with me, and I'd love to have a chat with you.
Thank you so much. Have an amazing day. Bye,
okay.
Brains.
All right. Bye.